Name that orchestra. That is the Detroit Symphony with a fine blast from Aaron Copland. The orchestra has been a source of pride, community pride, for Detroit for a very, very long time, but it's now almost a statistic. It is a potential victim of the deep recession that has gripped the entire country and hit Detroit with incredible force. Ticket sales are down almost 18%, and the orchestra has an operating deficit that could reach $5 million. The orchestra has asked musicians to accept a 29% pay cut. That is unprecedented. And so the musicians have voted to strike. Joining us now is Hayden McKay. He's a cellist with the Detroit Symphony Orchestra and a spokesman for the musicians during the negotiations. Good morning, Hayden.
Good morning. I just have to say very quickly, as much as I like to hear you talk, I've enjoyed hearing you sing even more, Celeste Headley.
Oh, well, thank you.
Whoa,
very much.
Nice.
Also with us is Terrence McKnight. He's the evening host on WQXR. That's the classical music station, which is part of New York Public Radio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Wish we were talking to both of you about something else. But Hayden, let me talk to you first about the situation that's going on in Detroit. The contract expired Sunday night at midnight. The musicians voted to authorize a strike. As I understand, the musicians were willing to accept a 22% pay cut, but not 29%.
That's almost right. In fact, management withdrew the 29% pay cut offer and gave us a worse one, and now they're asking for 33% and down 42% for new hires, which is the one that scares us because we want to attract talent.
Right. And you must be sensitive, though. I mean, the average salary of a musician in the DSO is what?
It used to be $104,000. Under our proposal, it would go down to about $80,000.
Okay, and you must be there's no doubt that incredibly highly trained professional musicians are worth every penny, but the musicians have to be sensitive to the plight of the community around them and how that salary must seem like a lot of money.
No, we live in Detroit. We certainly see what's happened. We love the city, but people have been hit very hard. And the fact that we might make $20,000 a year less, you know, cry me a river. Everybody knows that. The bottom line for us is long-term, the institution has been a great thing for Detroit. And to maintain quality, we have to compete in an international marketplace for top talent. And those people, if they have a chance to go to L.A. or even Pittsburgh or Washington, D.C. for way more money, are not going to choose Detroit for the image of Detroit.
All right. Well, Terrence, if this were just about contract negotiations with the Detroit Symphony Orchestra, we would probably not be talking about this. But the DSO is just an example of kind of what's going on around the country. Orchestras are in trouble. And is it all because of the recession, or is this a trend that's just continuing?
Well, I think what we're seeing in Detroit is it is an example of what's happening with the recession. But, I mean, these issues have been going on with orchestras for years. I mean, Cleveland Orchestra earlier this year experienced this. I think Detroit just 3 years ago experienced this. Back in the 40s, Detroit, this orchestra disbanded a couple of times right after the Great Depression. So this has been an ongoing trend with orchestras in this country.
Terrence, I got to ask you, for those who don't go to the symphony, maybe there's people who feel like, look, who cares? Who goes to the orchestra anyway? 50-year-old white people. I mean, not to be dismissive, but that there is that impression. And if an orchestra goes down, it's because people aren't buying tickets, and therefore the orchestra is just not relevant.
Well, a lot of my friends happen to be 50-year-old white people, and they go
Hello.
To the orchestra. and Celeste, you know, and just because they don't go, people don't go, doesn't mean that they won't go. And sometimes it's just a matter of a hook to get them in. And, you know, I've never seen Detroit Symphony, but I certainly enjoy their recordings. I enjoy those old Motown recordings that featured Detroit Symphony string players. Yeah, so I think we do get to hear the music outside of that
but
context.
To the relevance question, I mean, we heard Copland there at the beginning. I mean, when Koussevitzky commissioned so much of Copland's work, it was all about telling the American story in orchestral music. Where is that same sort of mission today? Is it at the DSO? Is it at other orchestras?
I think it is at the DSO. It's especially at the DSO. They do so much outreach. They bring in and commission works. They bring in living composers. Just a couple of years ago, they brought in a composer named Hannibal Lacumbe, and they commissioned a work from him.
Let's hear part of this. That's a DSO playing that commission by Hannibal Lacumbe called "Dear Mrs. Parks." The bus that Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat on, by the way, is in Detroit at the museum there. But let me ask you, Hayden McKay, cellist with the Detroit Symphony Orchestra. Many symphonies in the past 10 years have decided to kind of become community orchestras in a way, and Detroit is no exception. I know that the symphony has invested in the entire, all of the blocks surrounding the orchestra, that they built a public school, a public high school. So the death of the orchestra there could have impacts beyond the community. I mean, the stakes are relatively high.
I don't like to hear that phrase, death of the orchestra, but going beyond that, that's for sure. I mean, the mission broadens all the time. It's not just a question of the people who sit in our concert hall, which does happen to be acoustically one of the best anywhere, but it's the free concerts we give in the summertime. It's the impact on the whole community, whether it's us teaching the community or playing small other concerts in the community. But it's the neighborhood itself. Midtown Detroit has great pockets. There's a university. There's a medical center. There are also some very scruffy blocks. And if the hall is there and it has its employees day in and day out and has thousands of people coming on a weekend who are going to neighborhood restaurants, who are walking around, we like to think of ourselves as a very positive small piece of the puzzle in Detroit.
But you know, Terrence, here's the issue. Even in Detroit, which is seen as one of the orchestras is actually doing relatively well at integrating, this is a city that's 90% African-American. They have three black musicians, and that's actually pretty good nationwide. That's a large number for nationwide. I mean, isn't there something to be said for the fact that our orchestras have been slow to change and slow to respond to the American demographics?
And what's scary about that is Detroit has really invested in that community. I mean, with the Sphinx organization and other organizations around Detroit, I think they've really made an effort to change that. But that is an issue, Celeste. And I think our orchestras really have to reflect the community that it serves. And as this nation becomes, you know, as demographics change,
not only do the players
have to change, but the musical offerings have to reflect that community as well.
Well, Hayden, you're on the front line. What's an example of a young kid who represents the community emerging to possibly be a part of the voice of the Detroit Symphony Orchestra?
You mean someone who's not in the orchestra?
Someone who's not, who you know, who's coming up, who plays really well?
Right. There have been some wonderful stories, because one of the things which we have is a very large educational set of youth orchestras, 500 young people plus participating, everything from strings to full orchestras to jazz orchestras. A lot of those people are from the city of Detroit.
Is there a young cellist who makes you a little bit nervous there, Hayden?
Luckily, they come here, they get as great as they can in high school, and they probably go away to college before we see them at auditions.
You actually don't see them at auditions. They're blind auditions, from what I understand, which complicates.
Usually you keep the screen up right through the hiring process, and so it has to be as fair as it can possibly be, so we're not swayed by their resume or the way they look. I just want to point out one example of how we're also doing that. The musicians years ago created a fellowship program for an African-American musician. That person would come in, this is a young professional, for one or two seasons and play about half the season at full salary, and be switched in and out of his section in different roles to get as much professional experience as possible before getting that first-time, full-time job of his own.
All right. Well, we're talking about the Detroit Symphony Orchestra with a cellist and a musician spokesman, Hayden McKay, also Terrence McKnight, evening host on WQXR, part of New York Public Radio. Hayden McKay, do you think you're going to go on strike?
We took a vote at Saturday's meeting to authorize the committee to call a strike.
But
it won't
will
happen
you strike?
Right away. It's the last choice of anyone involved, because it definitely has negative fallout for the whole institution and for the community. But if we feel that the institution's long-term quality and life are threatened, it would be
You'll
one thing we'd
off.
Have to consider.
Okay.